invite you to turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I want to thank you all for the music. Thank you, ladies. And thank you, Charlotte, for that beautiful offertory. Be Thou My Vision. Wow, what a beautiful rendition of one of my favorite hymns of all time. So thank you for playing that for me. on this Sunday. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. Hebrews 11 verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He looked for a city. What are you looking for? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray your blessing on us. Thank you so much for the privilege we have to come together and worship you. Thank you for our Bibles that you've given us. Thank you we can open our Bibles and read these scriptures that are such a comfort and blessing and joy. And they strengthen us. They give us hope, Lord. And that one day we are going to live forever with you on high. And indeed, may we be looking for that city, that heavenly city that will be ours for all eternity. And as we think about heaven, we can't help but think about that the Lamb is the light of heaven. That city is a city built by Jesus Christ in his honor and on his name. We pray your blessing on us, Lord, as we look at the Word of God. Speak to our hearts, and may your name be glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What are you looking for? He looked for a city. He looked for a city. You know, we spend a lot of time looking. We spend a lot of time looking for things, don't we? We look for a better job. We look for a perfect weight loss program. We look for clothes that are on sale. And oh, look what I found. I saved $5. How much did you spend? Well, I spent $50, but I saved $5. It's always about what we save. It's never about what we spend. What are you looking for? I'm looking for my shoes. Have you seen my shoes? Can you know where my belt is? Where are my keys? I get so frustrated losing my keys. I remember a day when we were on our hands and knees out in a football field looking for someone's contact lens that had popped out. That's difficult to find, a contact lens in a football field. But we're always looking for something, looking for a class ring, looking for our cell phone. Honey, have you seen my cell phone? No. Can you call my cell phone? Sure. Where's it at? Did I leave it in church? Is it in the car? Did I drop it somewhere? Where's my cell phone? My wife and I will go to Wichita to go out to eat. What are we going to do? We want to find some place with a good atmosphere, a good price. And so we say to each other, where do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you think we should eat? I don't know. Red Lobster? Longhorn? P.F. Chang's? We don't know. Can't decide. You know where we end up? Every time. Spangles. It just tastes better. We know what we like, and we don't have to spend a lot of money. And the best thing is you don't have to leave a tip. At least I know. What are you looking for in life? You looking for a good job? Looking for a place to live? Looking for happiness? By the way, let me know if you find it. happiness. Look for satisfaction. Looking for wealth. Some of you are looking for yourself. And I hope you can find yourself sometime. But just what, pray tell, are you looking for? Are you longing for? Well, Abraham, as we read verse 10, he looked for a city. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He had his eyes on the right site. He looked in the right place. God called Abraham out of the city of Ur in the Chaldees to leave everything. He said, Abraham, just go. And Abraham went. Abraham didn't even know where he was going. He went out not knowing where he was going, literally, that passage says. He left everything. He believed God, even when it didn't seem to make any sense. He didn't know why God called him, but he went because he heard God's call. We saw in Abraham last time, faith's obedience. Abraham had a faith that obeyed. He obeyed, verse 8 again of chapter 11 of Hebrews, Hebrews 11. He obeyed and he went out. Faith's obedience. And he responded immediately. And it's so vital to obey immediately. God said, get out, and he got out. God says to you and me, get out of the ways that enslave and get into God's plan. Get into God's ways. So we saw faith's obedience. And then faith's abandonment. Abandonment. He went out not knowing where he was going, not knowing whither he went. I think as the New King James translates it, not knowing where he was going. Not knowing where he went, verse 8. He stepped out in complete trust, not knowing all the answers. Not having material security, but believing God was going to take care of him. He just believed God. Can you do that? I like to make sure everything's going to work out. I want to know what's ahead. I want to get all my ducks in a row. But I have never yet been able to get all my ducks in a row. So why do I keep trying, right? When I need to be trusting. Trusting. Faith's abandonment. Not knowing where he went. He stepped out in complete trust. Not knowing all the answers. Not having material security. Believing God would take care. And that's where you and I need to be. Just serve God. Just serve God. There was a day when Roberta and I had the kind of faith that just stepped out. I can't say I always have that faith today. But we stepped out and decided God wanted to start a church. My mom said, what do you think you're doing? I said, Mom, I don't know, but I think God wants me to start a church. Well, can't you find one that already has a salary laid out so you know what you're going to get? Well, God will take care of us. And well, where are you going to have a church at? I said, I don't know, but God will have to provide that. And you know, I look back and say, my, what God did. And God did it. God established this church. But we just stepped out. The thrill of walking by faith. Wouldn't to God I can still walk by faith. But again, I'm one of those, I want my ducks all lined up. So we see faith's obedience, faith's abandonment. By the way, it took faith to buy this building and move into it. It was a mess. It was a mess. May have already shared that, but smelled like cigarette smoke, yellow ceilings, dark paneling everywhere. And I don't know. There's so many times I thought, what are we doing? But God led. God opened the door. So faith's obedience, faith's abandonment, and thirdly, faith's sojourn. Sojourn. He just sojourned. He wasn't a permanent dweller there. He didn't live there permanently. He lived in a tent, and he's pulled up his stakes for his tent over and over again, dwelling in tents. He never possessed the land, Acts 7, verse 5. He was always an outsider, and you and I should always remember that we are always outsiders in this world. We're in the world, but we're not to be at home in the world. We're not to be of the world, and Abraham was always an outsider. He was among those in Hebrews 11, 13 that says they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. He was a pilgrim. He It wasn't permanent home for him. He was just a stranger and a pilgrim. There's old Abraham. Never seemed to fit in. He was in the world, but he was not of the world. Always camped out somewhere in a tent. He never would settle down. He always seemed to just wander around out there in the desert and never even seemed to know where he was going. Abraham, where are you going next? I don't know. I'm just following where God leads. You know, he never seemed to know where he was going, but he knew exactly what he was looking for. Verse 10, he looked for a city. He looked for a city. What are you looking for? What are you living for? What excites you? What occupies your mind? What do you think about? What do you long to see take place in your life? Well, I'm hoping I get that raise, or I hope I win that sweepstakes. I always hoped I'd win the sweepstakes. I never did enter, but Roberta's mother always entered into the Reader's Digest sweepstake. And I thought, well, I'll just let her do it, because then if she wins that $1 million, she's going to share some with us. That way I don't have to gamble. So, first of all, we see Abraham's glorious expectation. Abraham's glorious expectation. He looked for a city. He was looking for, he was longing for something different, something far better and more enduring. You and I need to be looking for that city. You know, we're looking at the elections coming up, the elections of 2022, and then the election of 2024. And I think most of us would say we hope to see conservatives, even with biblical values, traditional values, get elected in 2022 and in 2024. I'm hoping to see Trump reelected. Believe that. I'm going to get political here, but that's all right. I want to see Donald Trump reelected if he, I'm assuming he's running again. Because I think he's, we found out he was a conservative's friend. Not perfect. But, and then I realized, I don't put my hope in politics. Whoever gets elected, my life is in God's hand. Our nation is in God's hand ultimately. And he will put whom he will in office. We do our part. We can pray, we can vote. But ultimately, God is the one who makes that decision. And we need to remember that Hebrews 13:14 says, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. No continuing city. It's not going to continue here. This life's going to end. McPherson's not always going to be on the map. And you're not always going to be on the map. But hopefully you know the Lord Jesus Savior is going to be in the map of heaven. You're going to enter into that place that Jesus has prepared for you. The world is passing away and the lust thereof, and he that does the will of God abides forever. 1 John 2:17. World's passing away, but if we do the will of God, we abide forever. That's why we need to keep our focus on God. He looked for a city. Where is that city? In heaven. It was a heavenly city. It was where God dwelt. He looked. This word looked, the Greek word has the idea of to wait expectantly. Abraham was waiting with expectation. He expected that city. He was waiting expectantly and confidently looking forward to the city, the heavenly Jerusalem. And that should be translated, he looked for the city. Not just any old city, but the city. The heavenly city, which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was not just aimlessly wandering around in discouragement. He was wandering around with hope, and I believe joy, because he knew God was leading. And as he traveled, he did so for God, worshiping God with his eyes fixed on God, waiting for the glory of God. Look at James chapter 5, just over to your right. James 5, verses 7 and 8. We find this word used here in James 5, 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, in the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman or the gardener, the farmer, waits for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. That's what we're waiting for, that early and latter rain, right? Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Wait, right? Be patient. Wait for the coming. Except the farmer expects it. He waits for it. He anticipates it. The farmer sows the seed in the field, and he looks forward to the harvest. That's why he's sowing that seed, because he knows he's going to get a harvest. And every day he goes out there and checks that field. I wonder if it's sprouting yet. I wonder if I got anything growing yet. And he digs down that earth, digs down an inch or two, and looks at that seed. And I remember going with my dad out in the corn. We grew up in Nebraska, so we had corn. We had several hundred acres of corn. And we go out there, and I remember dad getting down on his hands and knees, digging around out there before anything had come up, seeing if that seed had sprouted yet. Hoping that it was coming along all right. No one praying for rain. But the farmer sows the seed, looks forward to the harvest, but he knows there's a period of growth and development first, and he waits expectantly. So he checks the seed, then the plant comes out, then he checks the leaves, and then he looks for that ear of corn. He looks in the leaf, and there's some silk coming out of it, and there's a little teeny tiny ear that's developing. And so he's on the right, going the right direction. And the value of the harvest justifies his waiting. He's focused upon it. And so the Lord says to you and me, be ye also patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Be patient. Harvest is coming. The Lord is coming. Isaiah 8:17 says, I will wait upon the Lord. I will look for him. And that's the idea of that word look. I will wait. He's waiting expectantly. I will look for the Lord. Isaiah 8:17. Look for him. And you look for him, you'll not be disappointed. Unto them that look for him will he appear in the second time without sin unto salvation. And we read in Hebrews 9:28. Unto them that look for him shall he appear. He appears to those that are looking. Are you looking? If you're looking, he's going to appear for you the second time. He came already the first time. He's coming a second time without sin unto salvation. He's not coming to bear our sin. He's coming to make us sinless, and he will in that day. But the question is, am I looking? Do you long for him? To you who long for him shall he appear. Oh, the evasive, elusive things that people are looking for today. People are looking for that city of wealth. Bible says, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Just have a little food, a little money, a little savings. Be content with that. Be content. But people spend all their time and energy attempting to amass wealth. But for what? For what? What is the end of it? A person spends, devotes his life to the God of riches, and what are the dividends? Used to be a television show called How Did You Get So Rich? Joan Rivers had that show. You old timers might remember that. How did you get so rich? And they'd have people on that show, talk to them, they'd tell them how they got rich. How they maybe inherited their riches, or maybe they earned it. They knew how to make money. I remember that was a fascinating show. We always kind of curious, well, how do those people get all their money? But it doesn't bring happiness, does it? Doesn't satisfy. Never enough. Someone asked a multimillionaire how much more they wanted. And the answer was, just a little bit more. Just a little more. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. Ecclesiastes 5:10. Nor he that loveth abundance with increase. If you love silver, if you love money, you'll never be satisfied. Never be satisfied. Now, nothing wrong with having money. God gives it, you earn it. But don't fall in love with it. Don't worship it. Don't make that the center of your life. That's the idea. Because if you're in love with silver, you'll never be satisfied. Proverbs 20, and that was Ecclesiastes 5:10. Proverbs 23:5 says, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not, or that which is nothing? For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away as an eagle toward the heavens. Riches make themselves wings. They fly away. There they go. Maybe you had some wealth at one time. You had some money in the bank, and it just all flew away. Well, then what happened? Tell you what happened. You had kids. There it goes. You know, you got stuff to buy, things to spend money on. Then comes college, got to help them out. Then comes after college, and they went to college, and they still haven't found a job, so you're still helping them out. Yeah, you're right. Sometimes it goes like that. They fly away like an eagle towards heaven. Proverbs 11:4 says, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Riches. Riches aren't going to do us any good when we stand before God. We're not going to say to God, well, Lord, look in the house I built. Look in the car I drove. Look at my bank account. Yeah, they don't profit. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:17, don't trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, which giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Don't trust in uncertain riches. God calls them uncertain. Uncertain. I know, and anymore you wonder, what do I invest in? Nothing's secure anymore. You can't, you know, you can invest in the stock market. Good luck with that, right? Do you put it in savings? Well, what if all the banks go belly up, you know? You buy cryptocurrency? Whatever cryptocurrency is, sometimes I think you just dig a hole in your backyard and bury it. Might be the safest place today. It's not going to keep up with inflation. Well, nothing's going to keep up with inflation anymore. So anyway, Bible says, don't trust in uncertain riches. So don't be satisfied. They fly away. They profit not. Uncertain, don't trust. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Looking for the city of reputation? The city of reputation to be seen of men? Those that want to be seen of men, want to be spoken well of, Jesus said they have their reward. Look for a city of ease. The city of ease. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountains of Samaria, we read in Amos 6:1. The rich man said in Luke 12:19, soul, speaking of himself, soul, Terry, thou hast much goods laid up for thee for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So what are you looking for? City of reputation? City of ease? Maybe the city of lust. The city of lust. The Bible says, love not the world in 1 John 2:15. Don't love the world, neither the things in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. But many live for the city of lust. James warns us in James 1:14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. We get drawn away of our lust. But the Bible says, seek ye first. In Matthew 6:33, is it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not all these things, all this stuff that we work for will be added unto you. Just a fringe benefit. Serve God and then get on the pathway, the path of duty. And along the way, God's going to have flowers along the pathway that we can enjoy. There's going to be fruit trees and there's going to be everything we need. But seek first the kingdom of God. He looked for a city. Philippians 3:20, Paul says, for our citizenship, our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, who shall change our vile body. And God says your body is vile, means this body of humiliation, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. So our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior. And that Savior is going to change your body to make it look like his glorious body, according to how he does his work. Again, Philippians 3:20. Look at Titus 2. Titus 2. And if you're in James, turn back to your left. And you, Timothy, Titus, chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. And peculiar has the idea of God's specially chosen people. But he gave himself for us. And we're to be looking for that blessed hope. That's what we're looking for. We say, what are you looking for? I'm looking for that blessed hope. I'm looking for the appearing of Jesus Christ. I hope he comes today. I can't wait to see him. I hope I'm alive when he comes, so I'll be caught up to meet him in the air. Isn't that going to be a wonderful thing? To be caught up, catched up, raptured. We use the word rapture. And remember right, rapture is a Latin word that means caught up. It means caught up in Latin. So you're using Latin when you say you believe in the rapture. I guess it is. So looking for that blessed hope. And what you think about and what you look at is what you'll become. Your character is determined by what you think about. Or we might say what we look at. If you look at something long enough, it's going to change you. I always notice people walking their dogs, how funny it is. People tend to look like the dogs they walk. I'll never forget one time I saw a guy walking his bulldog. And he was walking his bulldog, and the bulldog was like this. And the guy walking was like this. And I thought, either that dog learned from his master, or the master learned from his dog, but they walked alike. They'd been together so much doing that. And so how you walk, what you think about is what you be. And you look at it long enough. I heard a story about a young man had a picture of a ship, an ocean in his living room. And he loved that picture. And because of that picture, he became a sailor one day. Because he loved the idea of sailing and ships. Because that picture in his living room. He talked to elderly believers who are hurting, who are going through pain, suffering, and sorrow, maybe disease. And what do they do it? They're looking to Jesus. They're looking for Jesus. They long to go home to see Jesus. Why? Because they know only He can satisfy. And they know it better than any of the rest of us. Looking. Look at 2 Peter, back to your right, 2 Peter and chapter 3. Second Peter 3 and verse 12 through verse 14. 2 Peter 3:12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in Him without spot, found in Him in peace without spot and blameless. Looking. It's filled with that. We read in Acts 7:55, when they were stoning Stephen, he was about to go into heaven. It says, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly unto heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He looked and he saw the glory of God. Well, Abraham's glorious expectation. And then we see the city's enduring foundation. The city's enduring foundation. It's the only city with an enduring foundation. The world is passing away, but he that does the will of God abides forever. He's abiding in that heavenly city forever because it has an enduring foundation. You wouldn't build a house if you found upon close examination that and the foundation of that house was partly made out of cardboard. And the realtor says, well, you know, yeah, it's sinking a little over here, and the house is leaning a little bit, but we're going to get a foundation crew over here and try to fix that, and they're going to jack it up. It's going to be all right. You'd probably have second thoughts about buying that house, unless they really came down in price. You wouldn't do that. No, you want a house, or you wouldn't buy a house if you found that the realtor found that after the termite inspector came, that it was infested with termites. You're not going to buy that house. You're not going to put money into that house. Or if you do, you're later going to go to the realtor, why didn't you tell me I had termites? Well, the realtor said, well, it looked good. I couldn't see the termites, so I figured it was all right. No, that's not going to go. And that's what the devil says to us. Well, everything looks good. You're going to be all right. This is okay, how you're living, what you're doing, what's going on. No, we need a sure foundation. And Psalm 87:1 says His foundation is in the holy mountains. Hebrews 12:28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, let us hold fast, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And Hebrews 13:14. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. The wise man, remember the wise man? He built his house upon a rock. Matthew 7:24. We have in Hebrews 10:34, you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. We have in heaven a better and enduring substance. We have a foundation. Well, and then also, we will look at that. Ephesians 2:19-20. You are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. So Abraham's glorious expectation, the city's enduring foundation, and then thirdly, God's perfect preparation. The city was and is totally designed by God. We read of that city whose whose builder, again, Hebrews 11:10, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God's perfect preparation. The city was totally designed and built by God. What a city. When God builds a city, you've got a real city. His builder and maker, literally, that can read, whose architect and builder, or designer and builder. It's a word, technetes. We get our word architect from this word for builder in the original language. Something like that, technetes, architect, we get. God designed it in his own mind, and he built it with his own hands. Remember Jesus said in John 14:2, I go to what? I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to go design and build a place just for you and you and you and you. And he is. And he's still working on it until that day you enter in to that glorious abode. That mansion, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Well, I know it's a dwelling place. But if God gives you a dwelling place, it's a mansion. It's going to be like a mansion. I go to prepare a place for you. 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We have a building of God. We have a building in God. And 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporary, but things which are not seen are eternal. Are eternal. Look at Revelation 21. Revelation 21 in verse 2. Well, we're going to look at verse 2 and 3 and verse 10. Revelation 21, verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God shall be with them and be their God. Verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. What a city. And we're heirs of that city. Ephesians 2:22 says, in whom you are built together as a habitation of God through the Spirit. Today, you, God dwells in you. He lives in you. You are his building. But in that day, we're entering into that glorious, beautiful, everlasting city forever. What a prospect we have. Well, we see Abraham's glorious expectation. What's your expectation? What's your desire? What's your hope? Where is your hope? Abraham's was in God. Abraham's glorious expectation, the city's enduring foundation. Do you have an enduring foundation? It's your life on Jesus Christ. And then God's perfect preparation. God's building you and me as well as that city. Are you allowing him to have his way in your life? Have you given your life to him? In full surrender. Now would be a good time to do that. Today. Not tomorrow, but today. May God be glorified through his word. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time now. In your word, there's so much more here than we can begin to touch on. We thank you, Lord, that we can share your word this morning, preach your word. Thank you for the word. May we be found studying your word, reading your word, sharing your word with family and friends and others around us, Lord. May we be excited about what's in the Bible. the promises, the hope, the warnings, the joy that's there in knowing you and knowing your word, knowing you through your word. We pray your blessing as we close. Thank you for this time, as always. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, take our hymn books and